and ask you guys, what is your purpose? I will only accept one Jesus. We're not. What is your purpose? What is your purpose in life? What are you here for? Give you a second to think about it. If you have an answer, raise your hand. What is your purpose? To make the world better. I love that. To make the world better. Anyone else? Mindy. Start things. The action statement. You got to start things to see things happen. Anyone else? We'll take one more. Be an instrument of God's grace and of God's mercy. That's awesome. All right, so for today, I'm going to be focusing mainly on purpose. That's going to be the general message that I'm going for. And to sum it up in one sentence is basically that when God calls someone, he doesn't simply just call you. He always has a meaning. When he calls someone, he calls you to a specific job or a specific purpose. He is intentional in the things that he calls you to do. And I believe that everyone has a purpose. Every person in here is here today for a reason. Whether you're Christian or you're not, whether it's the first time you've been at this church or the thousandth time you've been at this church, you are called to a purpose. But as we know, life always gets in the way. It might have been hard for you to get to church this morning. It might have been hard for you to get to church last week. Whatever it is, life gets in the way. There's always some obstacle. There's always some frustration or failure or roadblock. And it's so easy for us to think that because of that, our purpose was disrupted in some way, or that the plan that we thought God had for our lives is no longer there. And I just want to tell you that the guy that is all-knowing and all-powerful knew that that obstacle was going to be there. And that just because you went through it doesn't mean that your purpose changed at all. And so going into that deeper, purpose is something that has always been there. It's always existed. It's not something that appears at a certain time. It's not something that you have to develop, although you do have to develop your purpose. It's always there. The theological term for that would be that it's predestined. It's something that before you're even born, God had already planned out for your entire life. Although it may not be activated right away, it's something that will always be there for you. We see that in Isaiah 46:10, God says that he knows the end to the beginning, that he knows the purpose that he has for your life, and that he will fulfill that purpose for your life. Now, don't get that confused. That doesn't mean that the purpose that God has for you is something that you have to follow. Although as Christians, I like to think that God has a little bit more leverage for us when it comes to following our purpose. But he leaves that completely up to you. The purpose that he has for you is your decision to choose whether you want to follow it or not. It's your decision whether you want to take that first step into that purpose. And we see that in the story of Jonah, right? God came to Jonah. He gave him a specific thing that he wanted him to do, a specific place that he wanted him to go, and a specific objective from that place. And what did Jonah do? He turned and he ran in the complete opposite direction. He went the complete opposite of what God wanted, right? He was denying that purpose that God was trying to give him for his life. Did God allow that? He did, right? But he put some training wheels along the way in the form of a whale, right? Jonah was running, and God's like, you know, I respect your decision to deny this purpose, but I'm going to give you a little push, right? And so he had a whale eat him. We all know that story. And he spit him out a little closer to where he wanted him to be, right? He's like, okay, like I give you a chance to follow me. You didn't listen, so maybe I'm going to put you a little bit closer. I'm going to scare you a little bit. Maybe that'll make you follow your purpose, right? So sometimes when I'm surfing, I'll be looking over my shoulder and making sure, you know, there's not a whale coming for me. Just double checking that I'm still on the right path for God. But the thing that I love about that story so much is that even though Jonah outrightly said no, like, I don't want to follow the purpose that you have for my life. I don't want to do the things that you have for me. I don't care about the impact I'll make. None of that. And he ran away. God gave him a second chance. And during that second chance, he didn't tell Jonah, all right, you failed. You didn't do what I told you to do. Now you have to do it. He still gave him another opportunity to choose, right? He put him closer to that destination. He put him where he wanted him to go. But he still allowed for him to make that first step, even though he had already failed. And I just love that so much. And so I think another thing that people commonly like use as a way to turn and run away from their purpose is the gifts that come along with that. You know, some people have a specific purpose of leading people to others. We'll use that for as an example. And although they may be given the purpose and the journey and they know where they need to go, they'll use the, well, I don't really think that I have the gifts, right? Like, I don't really think that I can talk to people. I cannot talk to people. I'm standing up here in front of you all giving a sermon, right? Like the gifts are there. You just don't always know that. And God tells us that the gifts that he has for us are there, right? They're just sometimes not always activated. I like to think of it as like a gene in your body, right? A lot of the time, genes in your body can be dormant. Does that mean that they're not there? No, of course they're still there. Like, I've seen people who had full heads of hair when they were kids, right? Growing up through high school, they had just like, they would grow everywhere, they were all about it. And then 30 years later, they got nothing. I'm like, there's no hair there, right? Because it was dormant in their body, and then it activated, right? When the time was right, they no longer had hair. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit work the same way, right? Like, just because you can't immediately see them or feel that you are pursuing them does not mean that they're not there. Like, God's timing is perfect. All you have to do is just take that step into that, right? And although I grew up in the church, like Auntie Sonia said, I've been here my whole life. And a lot of the time, I found myself kind of deflecting onto other people. I may have had a specific calling on my life, and I may have felt like because I was in the church my whole life, the faith that I had was enough for me to get by, but that I could kind of alter my purpose in a way based off of the people around me. And when I was preparing for this sermon this week, I kind of realized that that's not something that you can do, obviously. You can't alter your purpose, and that initial step, although people can help you, people can guide you, God can give you training wheels and push you in a specific direction, that first step is completely between you and God. The purpose that you have is a direct one-on-one relationship between you and God. You can't bite off of other people's purposes. You can't think, oh, like, this person has a slightly cooler purpose, or I think that, you know, the skills that I think I have fit them a little better, so maybe I'll just latch onto them a little bit. Purpose and faith is not something that it's not inherited. Right? You can't get it from your parents. You can't get it from your friends. You can't get it from your brother or your sister. It's something that you have to have a direct relationship between you and God, right? And I'm sure that there's a lot of people that are sitting in this crowd right now thinking like, well, I don't have a purpose, or I don't know a purpose, or I'm getting older. I lost all my hair. I still don't have a purpose, right? Like, I won't call you out. But you look to the, you know what I'm talking about. And the first step that I found through doing everything this last year was that the best opportunity for you to go in the right direction is to just take that first step, right? To serve. That's the main thing. When you serve, you find direction, you find purpose. Because although you're not inherently doing something to direct yourself in a direction, you're bringing others along with you. You're serving others, and God blesses servants, right? And so every year we have a church retreat, as you all know. We had one recently. If you were there, you know about it. If you weren't there, it's basically a time where our entire church goes up to the North Shore for a weekend. Usually we go up on Friday. And it's just a time where we spend just the weekend together growing closer to not only each other as a community and as a fellowship, but growing closer with each other to God. It's a place where we're outside of our comfort zone. We're camping. No one likes camping. And it usually rains in the North Shore. And it's just, you know, it's a mess. It's so fun. Yes. And during that, there is a specific night, which I'm pretty sure a lot of the people only go to that. And it's called the Holy Spirit night. Right? And what that night is it's basically what it is in the name. It's a Holy Spirit night. The entire night is dedicated to just being with God, prophesying over each other, being filled with the Holy Spirit, filling people with the Holy Spirit. People fall over. They're screaming. It's chaotic, right? But that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's chaotic. And I remember, I probably wasn't the first time I'd ever gone to a church retreat, but my memory is not the greatest. I was probably 12 or 13 years old. I was still a kid. It was with the youth program. But what Blue Water does is that they always bring in someone during the church retreat, right? And their role is to kind of participate and empower people during the Holy Spirit night. That's their role. And the specific speaker that they had brought in that occasion was a pretty weird guy. His name was Robin. I just remember like trying to kind of avoid him a little bit because he seemed a little off. But during the Holy Spirit night, I used to sit at the very back. And that was kind of my way of being like, I still want to be able to see what people are doing and like see people falling over and all that kind of stuff. But I don't want to fall over myself. So I'm going to kind of like be just far enough away where hopefully they won't notice me, right? So during that time, we were sitting with all the youth and the night had started. They were prophesying, they were praying. And this dude looked directly at me and I was like, this guy better not call on me. I'm going to be so upset. And of course, thank you, God, he did just that. He made me stand up in front of everyone there, and he proceeded to give me a purpose statement for my life. He proceeded to tell me that God had told him that I was going to be a leader. That was that I had the calling of leadership on my life, and my purpose was to bring others to Christ as a ministry sort of perspective. It was pretty open-ended, a lot of room for, you know, my mind to run. And I remember sitting back down thinking like, that's great, dude. Like, thanks. And we're moving on. Like, let's next person falling over. Like it was done, right? He proceeded to make sure that I knew that was not it. He found me over the course of the next 2 days, probably like 10 times. Like the dude would not leave me alone, right? I would go to the bathroom and then I'd walk out. Oh, there's Robin. Like, hey. What I told you was true. Like, I just want you to know. I'm like, dude, I heard you. Like, we're good, right? And I was sitting with the youth group, right? So my parents were not sitting with me. He found my parents. Like, who does that? This guy is so weird, right? He found my parents without me there, and he told them, like, this is what your son needs to do. Remember this, right? And of course, that weekend, Jordan and him had kind of been, like, buddy-bunnying each other, like, this guy's prophetic. What he says to you is what he means, and like, it's what the Lord wants for your life. So I was still only 12, 13 years old. So I was like, that's great, dude. So we moved on, right? Following year, the church retreat came around again. And you'll never believe it. There was a new speaker. They said the same thing to me. They called me out in front of everyone again, right? And they told me a specific thing. It was pretty much exactly what Robin had said the prior year, except they added a little something to it. And this time they added pastoral. That was the word that they put there, right? And so it was a little cooler than Robin's because I was like, okay, it's a little more specific now, right? It's not as open-ended. It's not ministry. It's not. It's pastoral, leading others in a specific directive, right? And I kind of was thinking about it, and I was like, you know, like that's great, God, but I kind of want to be rich when I get older, right? And I'm like looking at Pastor Jordan, like that doesn't really embody rich, right? So, like, during the conference, it was cool. Like, I would go up to Johanna, and I'd be like, I'm replacing your dad. Like, it's, you know, it's... But then once we left, it was like, I didn't really care about it anymore, right? Because I was outside of that circumference of the church. Long story short, this proceeded to happen probably another 6 or 7 times. Just about every year at a conference, someone, not necessarily the main speaker... Sometimes it was someone that had been in the church for a while that I knew. Sometimes it was someone that was new. They were just coming from the church retreat, and they were like, I needed to tell you this. And I was like, you won't believe it. I've already heard that 30 times. And they're like, great. And I'm like, are you doing anything about it? I'm like, no. No, I'm not. And I remember it got to the point where before church retreats, me and my dad would place bets. We would be like, all right, like, who's going to give you the word this time? Like, will it be the pastor? Will it be the speaker? Will it be some random person? And so finally, about 2 years ago, I proceeded to get probably 4 or 5 people in the span of like 30 minutes coming up to me. I would talk with one person. I would pray with them. They'd pray for me. They'd tell me. And then I'd try to walk away, and then someone else would make their way to me. And I kind of took that as like, all right, I think God is trying to literally slap me in the face and say, like, I've given you 7 years to do something about this. And you have done nothing about it, right? And so finally, I decided to take that first initial step, right? God used everyone around me. He used people to push me in a direction. I kept turning away. I kept denying it. I kept trying to go in the other direction. But he always found someone to put, you know, to push me towards that direction. He wasn't using them to give me a calling. He was using them to call out a purpose that was already there that I was choosing to avoid, right? So like Auntie Sonia said, I jumped on the first opportunity. I went to Portland with Pastor Jordan. That was probably the most uncomfortable thing I have ever done in my life. Not just because he was there, but because it was a conference. And so I got to spend a weekend one-on-one with the man himself, God. I got up here and I spoke a little bit about that when we first came back from the conference. It was so amazing, but still, even when I had gotten on the plane, right? Even when I had taken that step, I was on the plane, we got to Portland, and I was still in my mind trying to define what I wanted my purpose to be, right? I knew why I was there. I knew what I needed to do. I knew the reason that he had brought me, but still I was like almost wrestling with God. Like, I'll do it, but I'll do what I'm comfortable with. Like, I'm here for you, but like, it's still me. Like, I'm on earth, you're up there. Like, I got to deal with it. So like, I want to do what I'm comfortable with. I remember we had been there for probably, I don't know, less than a day. Flew in Thursday night, probably Thursday afternoon. We had somehow managed to not only find, but walk to every single coffee shop in like a 4-mile radius of our hotel. And I remember we were sitting in the conference. It's about 2 hours before it started. Pastor Jordan was finishing up his notes. And I remember thinking in my mind, I was just thinking the same thing over and over again. I was just like, God, I do not want to go up on stage and talk in front of anyone. Like, I will not do that. So finally, I mustered up enough courage. You know, I sat up straight. I kind of like faced Pastor Jordan. And I was like, all right, I will do whatever you want, however you want me to do it. I will pray for whoever you want. I will minister to whoever you want. I will give words to whoever you want. But I will not go on stage with you, right? And of course, in Pastor Jordan fashion, he has a story for every single life event that could possibly happen. He doesn't even respond in a like conversational way. Like he just looks at me and he's like, you know, I remember my first conference. I'm like thinking like, dude, like, what are you talking about? He's like, I remember my first conference. I went with my mentor and he had given Pastor Jordan essentially no preparation. He didn't have any of the concepts. He didn't have any of what was going to be spoken. He didn't have what his role in going with him was. All that he knew was that he was there for a reason. He just couldn't figure out what it was, right? So his mentor was giving his sermon, and about halfway through it, he stopped giving his sermon, called up Pastor Jordan, who was sitting in the front row, said, all right, come on up here, right? Got up on stage with him, handed him a microphone, said, prophesy over the crowd, and walked off the stage, right? That was all he did. So there's Pastor Jordan standing there, and he now had to prophesy over a crowd of people for an hour straight. No preparation, no nothing, but that was his purpose. That was why he was there. Although Pastor Jordan didn't know it, his mentor knew it, and that's why he brought him. So he's telling me that, and of course, he doesn't even end it. He just ends the story, turns back to his notes, and keeps doing it. So I'm thinking, like, if this guy calls me up on stage, hands me a microphone, and makes me prophesy, I'm never coming back to his church again. Like, it is over, right? It is over. That is not what happened. He did call me up on stage. I did what I needed to do, but it just that I ended up just taking that first initial step in my own authority, right? He had prepared me as much as he could. People had spoken that word to me as much as they could, and it was my decision. Although I was fighting with God, I decided to take that first step, and the conference was amazing. I mean, I could not even put into words right now the power and the impact that was over that crowd. It was truly just a phenomenal life experience for me. I have a lot of stories. I won't tell them. If you want to hear more, I'll be here. You know, I can tell some stories from that conference. But just what I'm trying to say is that purpose is always there. You know, it's always something that will be there, and God always wants to bring it out in you, right? It's something that, you know, it's just always there. So I just want to read a quick scripture. I'm pretty sure it'll be on the board behind me. You can follow along in your Bibles, or you can just listen. It's Matthew 4, 18 through 20. It's a story that I'm sure a lot of us will know, and it is when Jesus goes and calls the fishers to be fishers of men. Perfect. All right. So it reads, As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once, they left their nets and followed him. So I just kind of want to just break down this passage so much because it's so simple, but it's so powerful. Like, here comes this guy that they had never met before, and he's like, all right, guys, like, you're in the middle of what you thought your purpose was. Now leave it all and come with me, right? They thought that fishing was their purpose. They had probably grown up doing it. It's what they used to provide for their family. It's what they used to provide for themselves. And they thought that that was their predefined purpose, right? But God completely twisted that whole thing, right? He saw more in them because he saw their true purpose, which was not to fish, but it was to fish for people, right? And the thing about that passage that I love so much is that it's not just a well, hey guys, like, I see that you're doing something and I think you should be doing something else, but I'm going to leave you to figure it out, right? There's an action statement that Jesus required from them. He didn't just tell them, you know, like, I think you should be doing something else. You'll probably be doing something else later on the line. He said, stop what you're doing and follow me, right? And even when they stopped what they were doing and they followed him, there wasn't an immediate call to action, right? It was spoken over them. They didn't immediately start doing crazy stuff, right? Their purpose wasn't immediately locked in, and the gifts that they had weren't immediately put to use, right? They followed this guy around for like 2 years doing nothing. They were just watching while he did everything, right? And they probably thought at some point during that, like, this guy just want an entourage? Like, did he just want people to hype him up? Like, why are we even here? To me, what I get most out of that is that, like, stepping into purpose with Jesus means that we have to be comfortable with the uncomfortable, right? It wasn't comfortable for me to go to Portland and get up on stage in front of thousands of people and talk, right? That's not something I ever thought I would have to do in my life. But once I did it and I was locked into that moment, it was everything activated for me. Once I took that first initial step, every single thing that I thought I did not have, I had, right? And the stories and the power that was behind it was just infinite. So coming off of that, I was invited to the Blue Water Leadership Academy. I didn't have to fill out an application. So if you guys fill out yours, just know I'm better than you. I must have done a good job because I was just invited, you know? So I'm just getting that out there. And at first, I wanted to decline the invitation because it was presented to me as, would you like to listen to Pastor Jordan speak for an extra 2 hours every Sunday? I was like, no, I don't want to do that. But of course, my God-loving parents decided that it was something I needed to do. So they convinced me to take part in it. And what it was basically just a fellowship gathering where a lot of people who had a similar calling on their life of leadership, but different journeys, got together and just learned from not only Pastor Jordan, but from God, in just every possible way to grow in leadership. So as I kind of wrap up the sermon, what we decided to do, as it's kind of a wrap up for the Leadership Academy, was that we put together three lessons, almost. I guess it would be a lesson. But it's three, like, objectives that we learned throughout the course of the sermon or the Leadership Academy that we want to impart to you guys. I don't think a lot of them are here, but I will do my best to impart it to you guys. And so the lessons that we have, let's see where I have them in my notes. The first one that we have is that we are always influential. Now, like I said, I always grew up in the church, but that never really stuck as a concept for me. I never really thought that when I came into church on Sunday, I was influencing someone. I kind of thought that I just made my way to my seat, listened to the sermon, and moved on. Like, that was my role in the church. But what Pastor Jordan really built into us and really hit into us was that we are always influential. And we're not always influential. We're always representing God, right? Every action you have, every posture you sitting in church or sitting, whether you're outside or inside of church, everything that you do represents someone. When I would go out in public, I was a crazy kid. I was always climbing on something, doing something that I was not supposed to be doing. My mom would always have to come to me, sit me down, and be like, Lucas, when you are out in public, you are not just representing yourself. You're representing your family. So act like, she's nodding her head. She's like, yes, I'm the greatest mother. You are always representing your family, right? In the same way, we should approach that with God. He's our Heavenly Father, right? We're vessels for His kingdom of heaven on earth. So we should always carry ourselves like we're representing Him. Every action you have represents God, right? And the second one that we have, the second takeaway, is that leadership requires the Spirit's power, right? Leadership embodies the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit moves in miraculous ways and in powerful ways. And our job is to move in that power, right? It was so easy for me when I was in Portland to think, like, I want to do it my way. Like, I think I know, like, enough. Like, I'm going to rely on my knowledge. I'm going to rely on what I know and not the power of the Holy Spirit, right? And that is the complete wrong way to think about it. Right? And Paul even addressed that, right? Like Paul didn't move with his fancy words or with his, you know, cunning spirit. He moved with power. And that's what he was so well known for, right? Because true leadership means leaning on the Holy Spirit. You don't lean on yourself. You lean on the Holy Spirit to lead you in the proper ways of leadership. Because we're allowing God's power to flow through us and bring transformation. Right, that is what we're going for. That is the end goal, is to be transformed through leadership. The third and one of the final points is leadership is ownership. And this is one of the points that I wanted to harp on the most. That's why I put it in the last, because it was never really something that I thought about. Like I said, I grew up in the church. I've been here my whole life. But I never considered myself an owner of the church. I never considered myself an owner in any fashion of Blue Water, right? I kind of just pictured myself as a consumer. That was what I was here for. I was coming to church to consume and leave. I wasn't empowering. I wasn't reiterating that consumption. I was simply consuming and leaving, right? And that is something that Pastor Jordan really wanted to get across to us, is that when you lead something, you own it, right? Take for idea, you own a business. If you own a business, and there's meetings for that business, are you going to come in and you're just going to kind of sit there? You're just going to, you know, do your own thing and you're not really going to have an influence? No. Like, that's your business. Like, you own that. You're going to go in there and you're going to make sure that what is happening in there is to your standards, right? Because owners will do anything for their what they own to succeed, right? Like, no matter what. If you own something, you're going to make sure that that succeeds because you're an owner of it. Owning the church is just something that I did my best to try to step into. And I, you know, sometimes you saw me at the front greeting people. Sometimes you didn't, because I, you know, didn't do it on time. I'm working on it, okay? I'm working on it. But, you know, it's just, it's something that a lot of the time I thought, like, when I was coming to church, I was simply coming to church. And it took me a while to realize that I'm not going to church. I'm bringing church somewhere, right? This isn't church because there's a cross on the front of it. This isn't church because there's Blue Water Mission stamped on the side of it, right? No, it's a church because we are owners of it. We are the church. We bring church to this specific location. Just like during the church retreats, we bring the church to North Shore. It doesn't change. It's still the same people. It's still the same owners. It's still the same leaders, just at a different location. And that's something that Pastor Jordan and us as leaders in the Blue Watership Leadership Academy wanted to just impart to you guys. That although it may seem like you're here to just consume, like, change the perspective. You're here as an owner. Like, even I'm standing up here giving a sermon, right? Last week, I was just sitting in the chairs, like, doing my own thing. I had no idea that I was going to be giving a sermon, because Pastor Jordan likes to give you as little time as possible to prepare for this sermon. I was told on, like, Sunday evening, like, oh yeah, I'm gonna be in Denver, so you're giving a sermon. I was like, what? I'm like, no.
So yeah, that's just, those are just some of the things that we learned in the Leadership Academy that we wanted to really impart to you guys just as a closing. Just again, like I said, if you're wondering, what is your purpose? Just, I encourage you, just follow the example of Simon and Andrew, right? Start by following Jesus. That's the first step you can take. If you're already following Jesus, then take that uncomfortable step out of faith, right? Take that first step and go in a specific direction. Take that first step and serve someone. Take that first step and do something uncomfortable, right? Because that is where all the power happens. That is where your purpose starts to be defined, right? It's all in that first step. So if you wouldn't mind, as we close, I want to just take a little bit of time. Just kind of, you don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to do any of that. But just kind of just open your heart and just take a second to just really reflect and just think on not, if you already know your purpose, that's great. Let God tell you more about it. If you don't know your purpose, maybe God wants to tell you right now. Maybe you needed some punk kid to come up and give a sermon for you to find your purpose. I just pray for those who know their purpose that you would give them courage to live it out boldly. We trust that you are working all things together for good. So we just command over the congregation right now that we will take that first step in faith. That as we walk out that door, whatever is bothering us, whatever is doubtful in our minds, that we would leave it here and that we would step out in faith to further our purpose with God. We thank you for the plans that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.